It's great to be with you this morning and to celebrate
Easter with you. This will be our second time this year to celebrate Easter. When we return to Romania, I think 3 weeks later, we have Easter. I think it's the first Sunday in May. We follow a different calendar over there, or at least Eastern countries follow a different calendar over there, and we'll be celebrating twice. Okay. Before we look at the scriptures this morning, I'd like to teach you a few phrases of Romanian, okay? In Romania, what happens this time of the year, the people have greetings there that they greet one another. They have someone will greet a person with these words, and the other person will respond, okay? For to say Christ, he is risen, is Christos a enviat. Okay, we got that? Christos a enviat, okay? Christ, he is risen, okay? And the other person would respond, Adivarat, I am the up. Okay? You've got that. You've got that. So you'd be walking down the street and you'd meet people. And first of all, we started in the church and on Easter Sunday, and we would greet each other. I'd get up the front and I'd say, Christos, I am the up. And you guys would respond, Adivarat, I am the up. Okay, we'll be more lessons later, okay? If you have your Bible with you this morning, I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 12. You know, this is such a huge subject. This is such a huge thing. And to pick a passage, because there are many passages, and many great things happened on this day that we celebrate that happened some 2,000 years ago. But this was the plan of God. While you turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 24, I'm going to read verses 1 to 12, okay? And in Romania, when we read the Word of God, everybody stands up for to show honor to the Word of God. So I'd like you to do that this morning. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11. And to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, we thank you that all these things that are changing around the world, but you change not. Lord, we thank you that you are our rock of our salvation. We just pray you will bless us this morning. Be with us, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen. You may take a seat. Here we have a passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 24. And there are many of the things that are mentioned here are also found in John chapter 20, Matthew chapter 28, and Mark chapter 16. We could look at this period of time, the 3 days that changed history, and the destination, or the possible destination, for mankind. All history has been changed because of Christ. Firstly, the year in which we live is 2016, Anno Domini, or after the death of Christ. And the years previous to this, his entry upon the earth in physical form, are known as before Christ. He is the man that changed all history. The prophet spoke of Messiah, which was to come for them, and described the manner of his death. In Psalm 22, it tells us in verse 1 that King David wrote, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" And in Isaiah chapter 53, we see the necessity of the cross to die. Many people around the world today, they have heard the Easter message. They have heard that Christ is risen from the dead. Many prefer the Christmas message, don't they? It's less offensive. When you talk to people about a Christ, the babe coming into the world and being born into this world and placed in a manger. But when you come to speaking about the cross that changed history, some are offended. Zechariah speaks of the Messiah as being pierced in chapter 12 and verse 10. And this is fulfilled in Revelation chapter 1 verses 5 to 7. Christ has already showed us the power over death when he raised the widow of Nain's son to life, when he called forth Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, and when he said unto Mary in John chapter 11, verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life." In Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 to 53, it records for us that firstly, the veil was ripped from top to bottom, representing no more separation between a man and God, and the beginning of a new covenant through the man, Christ Jesus. It also records for us in Matthew chapter 27, and we don't have a lot of details on this, that the graves were opened and the saints who were previously had died came to life and appeared to many. Today I want to concentrate on but a few things that are recorded here in Luke chapter 24. Firstly, we notice a group of women making their way to the tomb. In verses 55 and 56 in the previous chapter, we see that the women have noted where the Christ is buried. It tells us here that the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. So here we see this group of women. It's a very sad time for them. They are confused. They had followed the Lord Jesus Christ for some years. They had ministered unto him. And the disciples who had followed them, a lot of them, or all of them, were discouraged. They thought things would be different because the Lord Jesus Christ was with them. But they didn't know the scriptures. They didn't know that the Christ had to come upon this earth and he had to die for mankind. They were discouraged. And we see the ladies that watched the sepulchre. They didn't get the wrong sepulchre. They didn't get the wrong burial place for the Lord Jesus Christ. They noted where the cross was buried. And they spoke amongst themselves. And they said, "Let us go and prepare spices and ointments for the body." In Mark's Gospel in chapter 16... Mark chapter 16, it gives us additional information. Mark chapter 16. Verses 1 to 3. "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? So we see here the scenario. These women have gone, they've prepared the spices. They're coming back to anoint the body of Christ. And yet they're talking amongst themselves. Okay, we've got the spices, we're going to the right place, we know what's happening. But there's a problem. There is a large rock, there is a large boulder in front of the tomb. How will we enter into this place? But if we compare Scripture with Scripture, we see that in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 and 2, it tells us that the Lord God Himself sent an angel. That there was a great earthquake, and that the angel rolled away the stone. I'll read verses 1 and 2. At the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. So we see here that God is in control. God has prepared all things. And when they arrived at the tomb, it was opened and they entered in, but found not the Christ's body. They had an encounter with two men, it tells us, angels of the Lord. Now, an angel, we know, is a messenger. Okay? The men informed the women in verse 5 in our text, our original text. That Christ is alive. Why seek ye the dead amongst the living? I want to say to you today that that is the message for the world today. The world today is looking for things. They are looking for answers around. And they're looking in the wrong places. But Jesus Christ is the answer. These men inform the women that Christ is alive. And He is not amongst the dead. The angels reminded the women that Christ gave them a prophecy that he made in Galilee to them of His treatment, of His crucifixion, and of His rising from the dead. In all these accounts in the Gospels, the writers add additional information or deal directly with the point at hand. There is no contradiction in Scripture. When we compare Scripture with Scripture, we get the full picture of all the things that have happened. We notice also that it is the women who have come out early and have made the way to the tomb, not the men. Isn't it? Many people wonder, well, why did the women come out? Why did the women go to the tomb? And we know the reason, because the rest of them are fearful. The men are fearful. They're hiding in the upper room. They're hiding away. They don't want to be seen in society. They're fearful that the same thing would happen to them that happened to the cross. But it's the women who are sensitive to the ways of God. Many times women are more sensitive to God's Spirit. Have you noticed that around the churches around the world? Around the churches, in our little church to start off with, we had a lot of women in our church. Women and children started coming to the church at the beginning. But we see that God is working here. And He has prepared the way for the women. In John chapter 20, hope I'm not going too fast for you this morning. John chapter 20, we also see that Mary had an encounter with the risen Christ. When we wait upon God, we will have an encounter with Him. When we're still, and the Scriptures say, be still and know that I am God. When we wait on Him, we will find Him. When we search for Him with all our hearts, we will find Him. And I'd like to read verse 11 to 17. The two other disciples have already been to the graveside. Peter and John, and we'll talk about them in a minute. But while they left, Mary is still there contemplating. She's still thinking of what has happened today? This is a strange day. This is a thing that has turned the world upside down. And in verse 11 to 17 we see, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and saith two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast led him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary, and she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but I will go to my brethren, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Here we see that Mary has an encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And here in verse 17, it says to us, touch me not. This means that, hold me not. It's an action that she has started. And she says, don't keep holding on to me. Touch me not. Christ rising from the dead is very important to the Christian faith. On this very fact hangs all of Christianity. It is said that that Jesus Christ was either a Lord, liar, or lunatic. And that's what many critics have said over the years. During the last 2,000 years, many have tried to disprove this very fact. They've said, no, it didn't happen on that way. No, they came and they stole his body. No, they've done something else. There was a man many years ago called Josh McDowell. You've probably heard of him. And in his book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, he set out to prove that the biblical record was false. And he himself was converted to Christ. Many have come up with various theories to say, did not he die? He did not die at Calvary. He was wounded. And maybe he passed out, and later he was revived in the coolness of the tomb and escaped. But all these ridiculous ideas raise more questions than answers. If a man was hurt severely and he woke up in the coolness of the tomb, how did he roll away the boulder? How did he fight off the Roman guards? Their theories hold no water. The Apostle Paul records in his writings, if Christ be not raised from the dead, we are men most miserable. In other words, our faith has no foundation. Have you ever thought about that? That our faith is the truth. Many around the world today would claim that there is many roads that lead to heaven. There is only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in him. The women proclaimed that all they had seen and had done, and their meeting with the angels, to the remaining 11 apostles. But they did not believe. Have you ever talked to people and you wonder, look, and you say to them, what would you have done if you had have been there? Would you have believed? Oh, yes. It was sure. Look, all the scriptures point to him. But what would we have done? It tells us that the women returned. They explained to the 11 apostles, look, we've been to the tomb. The tomb is empty. The angels told us that the Christ has risen from the dead. He's not here. Well, why seek you the dead or the alive, the living amongst the dead? Why? But they did not believe. And now in verse 12, it tells us in our passage of Scripture today about Peter. Peter went to check it out. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, and beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. I want us to think today about distraught people. Men that were looking and could not understand the things that had happened. But Christ had rarely told them these things. He goes to the tomb to check it out. He goes running and to check out the story that the women have come and told him. I want to draw our attention to the grave clothes today. In John's account, in chapter 20, verses 2 to 7, we see that John also ran with him to the tomb, to the sepulchre. And it tells us that in that account, that John, probably a younger man, maybe he was a fitter man, but he outran Peter. But he stopped at the tomb and did not go inside. Let's look at John chapter 20. Excuse me. John chapter 20, and I'll read verses 5 to 8. And he stooping down, John, and looking in, and saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and saith the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that which was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. Here we see that John is also mentioned, and he's drawn attention to the linen clothes that were left there. The napkin about his head. The material wrapped about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is significant for us for many reasons. It refutes the escape method as claimed by the critics. The napkin of clothing is still wrapped. In Jewish customs and manners, these things are significant. If a guest was going to a wedding and he was called away somewhere and then he had to take off his wedding gown, his robe that he was clothed with at the wedding, he would leave it in a certain manner. And that would give a message to the host that he was either returning or not returning. I don't know if you do this. Many years ago, I was raised in Belfast, as our brother already said to us. And when I was learning, I didn't learn very much, but I did learn some things. I learned that if you went somewhere and you were, say you went out to a restaurant or you went somewhere to eat, you went to someone's house and you wanted to stay and you were at the meal table and you had to leave the table for some reason, the way you would leave your plate would give an indication to the host if you were returning or not returning. Now, I don't know if you do that. Mentally, we do things and we don't think about it. Like if I was returning to the plate, I would leave. Do you leave the knives and forks crossed like that? Is that correct? And the napkin by the side. Is that correct? Okay. And if you're not returning, you're finished, I've had enough, you put them together and put the napkin on top. Is that correct? Well, in Jewish culture, how the grave clothes are left is very significant. And if we study this and look at it, and we see that John is drawn, his attention is drawn to this, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went he in also, that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. You know what that the way that was left was very significant for John. You know what the message is? He's coming back. Just like he said. And this is the message that he left for his disciples, these disciples that went in, and they looked and they saw and they believed. John believed. The clothes signify by how they are left of the master's return. This is a day like no other. And every week, upon the first day of the week, Christians celebrate the rising of their Savior. Have you ever thought about that? That we come every Sunday, we come. For the Jews, they celebrate on the Sabbath. But for the Christians, we celebrate on the Lord's Day. And every Sunday, it's a memorial, so to speak. And when we meet, when we're joined together, when we sing praises unto God, and we thank Him, and we pray, and when we hear the Scriptures expounded, and we learn, and we are taught together, so that we can go out into the world and reach others for the Lord Jesus Christ, we celebrate the risen Savior every single week. He has overcome death, and He has proved this to this world, that He has the power over death. I love how the Apostle Paul coined it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. My brother read the first few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'd like to read the remaining, not all of the chapter, because it's quite a few verses, okay? In verse 55 to verse 58. And I like how Paul captured this thought. And he said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What a great thought. The very fact that Christ rose from the dead, that He cheated death, shows us that He is in control. Shows us that He already has the victory. In Luke chapter 24, this is a chapter of open things. I want to draw your attention to some of the things that are open in Luke chapter 24. First of all, we see in the first few verses that the tomb is open. And this is significant. The Christ, He is not here. He is not dead. He is alive and sits on the right hand of His Father. In verse 3, I believe it is. Sorry, but in the same chapter, it talks when the angels talk to the women, it tells us that their understanding was opened. And they remembered His words. In verse 7 it says, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered His words. Their understanding is opened. Verse 27, it tells us in the same chapter that the Lord Jesus Christ, when He met the two men on the way to Emmaus, that He spent time with them when they walked along there, it tells us in verse 27 that Jesus spoke to them, and it says here, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. We could say the Scripture was opened here. And in verse 31, their eyes were opened. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. In verse 45, and it says, and He opened their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. You see, when these ladies came to the tomb, and when the disciples John and Peter ran to the tomb, they were discouraged. But when they got there, they noticed significant things: that Jesus Christ is different; that Jesus Christ is not just a prophet; that He's the King of Kings; that He controls all things. In the words of a famous hymn, it has these words. And my prayer is for each person to understand the words and have come into relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It tells us in this hymn, simple words, living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, free and forever. One day he's coming, our glorious day. You know what's beautiful there? A whole lot, but you know what's really beautiful there? Justified. This is the judicial, is that correct, terminology? That we've been justified. Not through anything that we've done. Who are we? We're just men. We're just sinful men. And Christ came into this world, and he laid down his life freely for mankind, and he paid the price for us. And when we celebrate every Sunday, when we come to church and we sing of his praises, we sing forth to the world that we serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he has risen. We sing these praises. We react in that way. In the scripture in Luke chapter 24, we see people changed. And I hope you, when you come to church, you come with a heart open to be changed. That you come and you say, Lord, work in my heart, do something in my heart, that I have the message that I have received. I have a message, I've received Christ as Savior. The importance of his resurrection is so important. Like the Apostle Paul says, if Christ be not risen from the dead, we are men most miserable. We have the most beautiful message in the world. That our Christ is risen. Many can look upon the course of history, and they can look back in time, and they can look at their Buddhas and their Muhammads, and they can look, and they're dead. But we can look to Jesus Christ that rose on the third day, and he makes intercession for us. I want us to think about these things this coming week and say, Lord, thank you, like this old hymn says, living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. I love the way King David says, as far as the east is from the west, my sins have been cast away that far. Rising he justified. When I was going to Bible college, we had one of the pastors there, and he says, he had a play on words with this, justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Have you ever thought about that significance of that is? That Godly looks on us, and because we've accepted his Son as our own personal Savior, we are justified in the sight of God. Would there be someone here today? Yes, you know the Easter message. You've read it before. You've heard it before. You know that Peter and John went to the tomb. You know that the women, they went to the tomb with the prepared spices. You've read about the two men on the road to Emmaus. I've heard all the stories before. But have you met Christ? That's the question today. Do you know the Christ? Not know about him. Not be able to read just the story, but do you know the Christ? Have you a personal relationship with him? Did he change your world? We see here, he changed history. He changed the history, put it on its head, so to speak. He turned the world upside down. When Jesus Christ came into this world, born of a virgin, lived upon this earth, ministered here upon this earth for some 33 years or so, that he touched some people and sent them into the world with a message that he has the power over death. That we serve a risen Savior. That we walk with him. Have you come into that relationship with Christ? Many would come to churches around the nation today, and they would come and they think, oh, I need to go to church. I go to church at Easter. and I go to church at Christmas, and I just do my service. But you know what God wants? He doesn't want religion. He wants your heart. What's it say in the Scriptures? Son, give me your heart. And that's what God wants, your heart. I want to close today with these thoughts and for us to think about, do I know Christ the Savior? Is He living in my heart? Do I have a relationship with Him? Do I enter into prayer through His name to the Father? Can I truly sing these words of these old hymns today and say, Lord, I'm justified just because I put my faith in You. And say, Heavenly Father, thank You for that. Let's close in prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You for this miracle that happened some 2,000 years ago. And we know that in the Scriptures, the writers, including the Apostle Paul, he wrote, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Lord, we thank You for those of us who know Christ the Savior. For those of us who serve a risen Lord. Lord, we thank You that You have prepared a place for us. Lord, I pray for those who do not know You as Savior, that may be even present here this morning. And we're not talking about religion here. Religion will not take anyone to heaven. Lord, I pray that they will come to know Christ the Savior. And when Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Me, that they will understand these words, Lord, and call on You to be their own personal Savior. Lord, work in their hearts and work in our hearts this week. Help us to be ever grateful. And Lord, to pass on the message to others that they may come to know Christ as well. In Jesus' name, amen.